Okay, guys, July 23rd, and this is a mastermind session. So we were just kind of talking, I was talking with Sally about like the weekend stuff. Sally, you're saying that you're finding that weekend's better for you for work and like calling sellers and everything?
Better to talk with people. I've gotten people during the week, but it's usually because they're answering their cell phone and they're at work and they don't really want to go into the extended discussion that starts with, you know, I want to buy your house and moves into an X deal. So I find people to be more receptive on the weekends. And they people who are for sale by owners, they're sort of primed to do open houses and deal with people. So that I just find them to be more receptive.
Right. Well, I spent the weekend, you know, I've been trying to implement automated follow-up sequences, and I have some down for some sellers, but I don't have a, you know, this my system isn't perfect. So a lot of them, you know, I'll talk to once or I'll email and say, hey, you know, call me back if, in the future, you know, if it doesn't work out, so I can keep them on a follow-up list. But it hasn't been a perfect, you know, thing for me. So this weekend, I know that I had emails I had flagged from years back, like even back to 07 for sellers that at the time had rejected an offer or we just couldn't get to a meeting or something like that. So I started following up people and just I had about 4 boilerplate emails that I would send back just depending on if they had a house for sale or a house for rent that I offered a lease purchase strategy or maybe sometimes even buyer leads. And it was actually good because I went through several hundred emails that I responded to, and I really opened up a lot of new leads, you know, people that said, oh, yeah, I remember you. Hey, I'd love to talk again because, you know, I actually am looking to sell. But on the other end, I ended up finding some houses that I totally missed, just really good deals. I had one that was on the market, or the seller contacted me, rejected my offer, decided to list it. She listed it for $139. Then she, after a few months, she dropped it to $129. And then the email that I never follow up on was my old administrative assistant. She had emailed me the day that it went expired. And she said, okay, call this lady. That listing just expired. Well, I had flagged it with an effort to call back, but I never got to it. Well, it turns out I looked up on the public records and that the lady sold the house to another investor for not $129,000, but for $59,000.
Oh, my God.
That investor ended up rehabbing it and sold it like 2 or 3 months later for $155,000. So, I mean, that was probably, I'm guessing even with a $40,000 remodel, that was probably a $40,000 profit. So, kind of like, you know, it got to me, but at the same time, I was like, man, I mean, this is why you need to, you know, you got to follow up and have to figure out a good way to automate this. So, do any of you guys have a good way that you're managing your leads for follow-up? None?
Mine's still pretty manual. Anything that's got potential or that they'll talk to me, I think they'll talk to me at least. You know, they haven't completely ruled it out. I just put in a spreadsheet, and I was hoping that eventually I could get that spreadsheet in some kind of a database.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I would recommend because it makes it really easy, and I've said this before, is if you can end up subscribing to like an autoresponder service, you can get it for as little as like $19 a month. And if all you did was for every seller you end up talking to, if you just got their email address and you created a follow-up sequence that had sent an email every 3 months, where it just said, hey, just checking in, just talking to you, want to find out how things are at the house, did you sell it, or would you consider another offer, and then put your name and phone number, and just have that automatically go out, then, you know, if that's all you did, then you can almost set it and forget it, and then let those leads come in. So, anyway, actually, Sally, what I want to do is, you did go and you met with the seller, so I know you talked to me a little about it. Tell the rest of the group kind of how you got the lead, how that went, and how your meeting kind of went down.
Okay. This is a Craigslist ad in Maple Valley, and he had listed it before, and listing it expired. He was he's an out-of-state owner, and he's in one city, his family's in another. He was receptive to a lease purchase, and I thought we had terms, balance at the time of purchase, so that he would come out with his expenses covered monthly, and then he would sell the house for what he owed on it. When I got there, he wanted more. He wanted since he was also trying to sell the house, he wanted to get the same amount on the lease purchase, and so I thought the deal was dead. And shout out to Mike. Mike figured out a way to save it. So thank you very much. So we wrote in the terms that Mike came up with, which was that the seller would pay the closing costs, and the buyer would pay the closing costs, and so his wife was coming in later that day, and he wanted his attorney to look at the paperwork. So I told him that I would revise it based on what we talked about. There were some other changes just in terms of the features in the house, et cetera. So I revised it and sent it back to him. And he sent me a note that he's still interested, but his best case scenario, of course, is to get out from under it completely. Then I got into a bit of a situation where he has it listed in the MLS, and I thought that he was for sale by owner, but a real estate agent told me that if you're in the MLS, that means that you've gone through a broker. And so one of my questions for Mike is that true? If he has an MLS listing, does that mean he's under contract? And if he's under contract, obviously I can't get a contract from him.
So here's what I know is that you can be in the MLS without having an agent that has an exclusive right to sell. So there's two types of listings. One's called an exclusive right to list. The other one's called an exclusive right to sell. So the exclusive right to list means that is a realtor that's only one able to advertise, but any other agent can sell the property and get the commission. And he could, there are flat fee brokers where basically they just put you in the MLS, but then there's not a listed agent that is actually like representing you. So what I'd recommend is you have the address, maybe we can throw it into Google and just see what pops up.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean,
if you want me to put it in Google, I can find out for you.
You mean like right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you keep talking and I'll come back to it.
So basically, what I pretty much stay away from houses that are listed. If I know it's listed, I'll back out, just because, you know, if you have an agent. For one, that you might not be able to get on a contract, especially if you're getting on a contract to assign. You know, an agent's not going to like that, and so you could piss off an agent. The other thing is that if you're advertising a house separately that's also on the MLS, you can invite, you know, other jealous agents to, you know, scrutinize your deals and stuff like that. So I think as a general rule, if I see it listed, I'll just tell the seller, you know, your house is listed. See what you can do. Let your realtor sell your house. If for some reason the listing expires, be sure to call me so I can make an offer before you decide to relist.
And I'm good with that. Good with that. There's no real estate agent.
Okay.
It's a for sale by owner.
Is that a flat fee listing?
Yeah, that's what I think he's got.
Okay.
But according to this other real estate agent that was doing my short sale, there is a broker involved in that flat fee listing, not
there
an agent.
There is. That's correct.
My question then, does that mean it's under contract?
Well, no, it doesn't mean it's under contract, but what you need to find out is if he sells the property, if he finds a buyer and sells the property, does he owe the real estate agent a commission? If it's just a flat fee listing where there's no commission to be paid,
right.
You as a principal, you can go in and get a contract on the house.
Okay, that's what
okay.
I'm doing.
And so and if you close on it, if you do a lease option or you assign it, effectively, if there's no commissions you pay to another agent, then you're fine.
Okay, that's
the
where
challenge would come in is if that seller is under contract with an agent where if he sells or leases the property, then there's a commission to be owed. And then, in my opinion, that's where you can invite some trouble.
Exactly. Agreed. Okay, thank you for that, making that distinction. I think that's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah. So was that just something that you overlooked when you made the appointment, or he just didn't tell you?
No, I knew it was for sale by owner, and I did. We set up the appointment for the time that he was in town. He was out of town. And before I went, I did check the listings and saw that he took some action on the 18th, and I met him on the 21st. So I did ask him about it.
Okay.
And he said,
so he had put
he
it
said,
on the market
no, no,
in between.
No.
Yeah, so right before you had gone to the appointment, he decided to put it on the market
Well, to put it in the MLS, but he still, I questioned him thoroughly. I said, you know, are they helping you with advertising? Is there a commission involved? No. He was doing this on his own.
All right. So, okay, good. So, but basically right now it stands as you need to follow up with him.
Right.
And you kind of agreed to terms, but you don't have it on paper?
I have it on paper. I turned it around to him. He wanted a PDF file. I gave it to him. He wanted to run it by his lawyer. In the interim, I think he still hoped that he could get his full price over the weekend.
Okay.
But as soon as he comes up, bumps up against his next payment, and he's ready to default, then I think that's going to close it.
Sure. Okay. All right. Good. Cool. So anything else to report, or should we go to Vince?
Go ahead to Vince.
Hi, Vince.
Hi.
Anything new this week?
Not really. I had 4 days off, so I didn't do much, except I did just today receive those 200 letters from All Ready to Drop in the Mail from yellowlettermail.com. So
awesome.
That's good, and that's on that owner-occupied list instead.
Okay.
With the sweet spot, I think you called it, from 2003 to 2004, and three bedrooms or more, South King County.
Good. Awesome. Yeah, I'm actually going to be sending another mailing out to that list as well. I sent postcards before. I've got yellow letters ready to send out. I sent out 100 yellow letters on Saturday to inherited properties, and today I got five calls. Five calls. Three of them are dead. One's a follow-up, and one's an active. So I'm hoping to turn a deal out of these. And then I'll report on my other marketing. So I guess, you know, the big thing I think for anything that's real estate is you really have to focus on marketing. If that's the only thing that you focus on right now is getting the phone to ring or making outbound calls, that's like the most important thing. So if you have so Vince, you're doing marketing. Sally, who else is on the call right now?
I'm on, Mike. Mary.
Okay, Mary. Hey, Mary. And then anybody
else? Chris.
And Chris. Okay, awesome.
My phone wasn't working earlier.
And I think both of you guys are doing marketing. Mary, how is your marketing going?
It's going okay. I'm not sure I told you, but I had 700 letters that were sent out, and I was working with somebody that I've been working with. She's great. She was actually writing the letters out by hand, but she transposed the phone number. Oh, I think I told you that.
I don't know.
So remember that lead that I had where that guy actually went? Maybe I didn't tell you, but the lead that I had in West Seattle, guy was so motivated, he went to the return address that was on the mailer, which is my Alki Mail and Dispatch located on Admiral Way, and they have my cell phone number. So that's the only reason that he got in touch with me. And then he mentioned that he had tried calling that phone number, and he couldn't get through. So that clued me in. I called the phone number. Then I went to Pat Live because they were porting my number over. I just thought maybe it was in the interim. But I was getting, good pickups from them, from the number. So then I went to the girl who was doing that stuff and found out that the numbers were transposed. And it just goes to a black hole. There's no way to recover those. So...
So that didn't even go to a real person. It just went to
It did not. I was just so bummed. I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting anything. Because all the mailers I've sent out in the past, I've had responses, and I was not getting anything. I just said it was because Pat Live was porting that number over. But anyway, so. I think we've sent out a total of 500 at this point. And I'm getting a lot of responses. You know, I mean, some are dead, some are hang-ups. But, you know, I've been responding to quite a few that I've got. The other thing, I took your I listened to the call last Monday right after I got back Monday evening. And so I called some investors, and I found out that, I mean, I felt like I was butting heads with you, Mike, so I can't do that because you had already talked to these people. It was so interesting. I mean, they mentioned it. I didn't even prompt anything. Oh, yeah, I've got the same agreement with Mike Sumsky. Oh,
that's funny.
He's already done that territory. Okay.
I guess, but I don't even, I not necessarily think that stops you, but I mean,
Well, I don't want to step on you. I mean, you know, it was a great idea, but I don't want to step on your toes because.
Well, there's lots of other investors out there that that might have properties. So what I would do, one of the ways to do that is you can go and you can find the houses that are offered for lease purchase where they're already offering, and a lot of these guys are, you know, they're investors. They might have four or five houses. You know, they're not going to any kind of investor meetings or anything. And you can network and talk with them. And just, I did that today. I was calling. So the email I sent yesterday to everybody, I have a buyer who's got $10,000.
Oh, you do? Okay.
He really needs to get into a house. The house he's in, his landlord is selling it, and he wants to get in rent to own. But he needs a house in North Tacoma. So I went online, and I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with. There's a website called PadMapper, Mapper, PadMapper. What PadMapper does is it takes online ads from different websites like Craigslist, and there's probably a couple other ones, and it takes those in a feed, and it looks at the address or the cross streets, and then it plunks a little dot on a map. So you can see a map view of where all the houses are. And so it's a really cool thing. So I know I needed to go into North Tacoma. And so I went to PadMapper, and I just did a search for houses that were for rent between, you know, three bedrooms and larger that were for rent for, say, $950 and up. And there was, you know, 15, 20 different places. And so I just would click on each one and call the seller. So if you, you know, that's a great way to, you know, reverse engineer. A lease option is where you can find a buyer first. And if you have a qualified buyer who is really interested in getting into a rent to own, then what I would recommend is talking with them, have them fill out an application so you can kind of pre-qualify them. That way, you know that if you found a house they like, then they're pretty much already qualified. You don't want to spend a lot of time looking for somebody only to find out that, you know, they have 430 credit and, you know, they have $60,000 in child support liens that are never going to get paid off. So do a pre-approval, find out what they're looking for, and then start searching for houses that match what that person's looking for and get those ones in our contract to show them. And the byproduct of this is that you're going to find houses that probably will not work for that particular buyer. But then what you'd be able to do is, you know, you'll still be able to get housed on a contract to put out your list. And it almost, for me, if when I'm So when I was calling sellers today and kind of giving my pitch, it seems easier when I have a buyer in mind. So one of the things I say, and we can do, you know, like a little buyer role play is I'll say, hey, you know, I saw your house on Craigslist. Can you tell me about it? Is it still available? And they tell me a little bit about it. Is it a nice house? Is it 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom? Okay, great. Now, does it need any fix up? I'm kind of looking for a nicer house. And then they're selling me on the house, and then what I do is I'll say, well, let me ask you this. It sounds like a great house. I think I'm interested, but I'm really looking to buy a house. Would you consider selling, or is it just for rent? And then I said, would you consider selling either right now or sometime in the future? And so for the people that said that they might be interested in selling, and I only had one guy that said, oh, you know, I might consider selling. And I said, well, you know, here's my situation. Is I'm looking to buy a house. I have a family that really wants to buy a house, but they need to cut a little bit of time. And so my goal is to be able to buy something and put them in and sell it to them on a rent to own. So, you know, your house sounds like one that they would like. And if I can have an instant tenant for a house I buy where I wouldn't have a vacancy, and, you know, I might be able to pay a little higher price, you know, can you tell me, you know, if I could pay a cash, what would be the least you'd accept? This particular guy, he was not in a position where he could sell cheap cash. And so then my next discussion is, well, would you consider a lease purchase? You know, I'd be interested in maybe lease purchasing and then putting him in as a tenant to buy from me if the price is right. If it wasn't, you know, if I still can look at it, perhaps I could, you know, negotiate a deal with you and then assign that over to my buyer. He'd actually pay me a fee for finding a property. It wouldn't cost you anything, but I might be able to get you a little bit more money. And so as it stands right now, it's kind of still in limbo on whether he'd be considered doing that. But for me, it feels a more natural discussion when I have an actual buyer in mind. And so I can say, hey, I'm looking to buy a house because I have someone that wants to do a rent to own and I want to have them as my tenant. So that's just a little kind of a side thing. For me, it feels easier to have that discussion. And if you're working, it's possible that if you're working with somebody who's got, you know, a lot of dough, that it might be easier to go that backwards route. And so I'd love to see if you guys could try that and kind of report back. So did anybody today go and try to find a house in North Dakota?
I'm getting a list of expired listings. I called my my realtor, my broker,
okay,
this morning. So he's
so
getting me a list.
If you're looking, looking for a 3-bedroom, looking in North Tacoma, came in, I think, under $1,600 a month or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So see what you guys can do.
Mike, the Rio that I put in an offer on this week is in Parkland. Would he consider Parkland?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Parkland's going to be South Tacoma. He wants something, I would, you know, kind of, I think, north of 6th Avenue.
Okay.
In Tacoma. Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, Mary, just as an aside, I had a similar thing happen with my marketing where I had an administrative assistant putting out my doing postcards. And she did, I think, a 2,000 postcard mailing on click to mail online through that. And instead, it wasn't transposing a phone number, but we were cleaning up the Excel list, and she did a sort to kind of sort by, like, assessed value or sort by something else. Where what ended up happening is the address and then the city, state, zip on each property got messed up.
Yeah.
And so as it turned out, maybe about, you know, 30% of the mailings actually still worked because the, you know, it traded one person's Bremerton, Washington 98312 with another Bremerton, Washington 98312.
Oh, but that's interesting.
I think we had,
yeah.
Yeah, but I think we had about 60% of our mailings, because we're going all over, you know, different cities and zip codes, that came back. And so we realized that when we had about a 60% return on our postcards, and we're like, oh my goodness. So it's happened to me.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know, that's just one of those things that you kind of only make that mistake once.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I mean, she normally is. She's been so good, so I did not think to check. But it's a brand new number for her, just because you know, I was using my Google Voice number, so that's what happened. But yeah, now I'm getting a lot of responses now, so that's good.
Well,
I don't know,
do you know what
the percentage.
Do you know what your response rate is? Are you tracking that?
I don't know, Mike. I've got to figure that out. And what I want to do is figure out how many responses, even how many calls I'm getting versus how many good calls I'm getting.
Right.
So, and I
so
just
here,
haven't figured
here's
that
what
out
you,
yet.
Here's what you guys need to do, is you need to create an Excel spreadsheet that that tracks your marketing. So in the beginning of the month, you want to put out what your goal is for the month, for how many letters or postcards or calls or whatever that you want to send out. And then what you do is you track your actual, because you want to be able to meet your goal. So as you send stuff out, add that to what your actual mailing is, and then start tracking the calls for each campaign. So you'll have a different row for each campaign. So if you're doing a letter mailing to, say, absentee owners, that will be on one row. And then if you do a second mailing to, you know, low or no equity, which would be like the 2003 to 2005 mailing, you track that another one. And then as calls come in, you want to separate them into active, follow-up, or dead. And that's going to be the leads that you're actively working on. The ones that you the follow-up would be the ones that rejected an offer or told you that they're not ready to sell yet, but there might be room in the future. And then the deads would be the ones that you'll never buy. So that's like the one-bedroom house that slipped through the cracks that you don't want, or the house that the person, like today somebody called and said, oh, this house is going to be in a family, we're never going to sell it, not interested, never will be. And so I put them in the dead category. So that's how you do it. And the importance of tracking the marketing is so that you can find out, you need to start getting metrics for your business. And in addition, you want to track the appointments that you go on and the offers that you make. So if you make an offer over the phone or you make an offer in person, you should be tracking that, and then how many of them are accepting. So over the course of a few months of doing this, you're going to find out some pretty interesting data. So if you're not buying any houses, then you take a backtrack and you go, okay, well, how many offers have I made? And if you're not making very many offers, well, then you need to make more offers. So does that mean that you're not getting enough leads, or does that mean you're not turning enough leads into appointments? Or does it just mean maybe you're making a lot of offers, but you're not getting many houses? And if that's the case, then it's likely a sales issue. So you need to practice your presentation, you have to practice your overcoming objections. And if we don't know that data, then it's really tough to know what's the limiting part of your business. What I can do, and normally this is something I've only reserved for my coaching students, I've put together a marketing plan where I'll send you the sheet that I have that just tracks the marketing. So I'll put that on the website. Or I'll email that.
Oh, that's really helpful. Thank you, Mike.
And that's what you can track that. So I would really encourage everybody to do it once a month, because then you're also able to be proactive. We might even have I'll put together a video where I'll explain how the thing works too this week. If you guys promise to use it, you guys promise to use it?
I promise to use it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Cool. All right. Hey, Chris, how's it going, buddy?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. So you were actually gone this last week, right?
Yeah, I was in Kansas.
Yeah.
But I'm back safe and sound, and I might actually get some work done this week.
Cool. Awesome. So you probably have much to report, but looking forward to getting you back in the saddle and everything. So how was the drive?
It was hot. And because I don't have air conditioning in my car, but but I made it safely, and
cool.
Could be back home. And the lady got all the old lady furniture out of my condo, so now everything's
fine. So are you in there now?
Well, I've been in the condo for I moved in on the 8th, and I just had my
You're
stuff and
her
stuff.
With her stuff.
Yeah. So now it's all out, and I'm still in the mode of settling in. But I left a message for Marilyn to have us talk soon about signing paperwork, and she hasn't got back to me, so I'm going to send her an email, see if we can get the ball rolling on me actually purchasing this thing.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. If you need help, let me know. So, okay, cool, cool. Is that it for updates? I did that for updates, huh?
I think so.
So here, this is what I... Oh, you have something else?
Well, I was going to say with the that Tacoma one with the email, my phone cut out a little bit earlier, so I wasn't sure how much you guys discussed it, but I was going to plan on looking more into that maybe tomorrow.
Awesome.
Or is that one already filled? Did you guys already find someone for that?
To find the house for the guy at 10,000 down?
Yeah.
I'm making calls. I don't have a perfect lead yet, but I think it would be good for you guys to do that too. So he's going to have to move probably within the next, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, if it might even be worth, if somebody is planning on a marketing campaign, you know, that could be a good list to grab. You know, North Tacoma homes that are, so if he wants a $1,600 payment, so this is how I figure this out. If he wants a $1,600 payment, that's going to correspond to a house that's no more than, what, say, like 250 grand, maybe? So I think that what you want to do is find properties that are in, you know, two zip codes up there. I don't know which zip codes they are, but they would be, say, three to four bedroom homes that are assessed between, like, 160 and 250. And then get that list, whittle it down to the best prospects based on what your marketing budget is, and then send a bunch of email letters really quick to see what kind of calls you get. And then, that's it. So what I wanted to do is to do some role-playing, some seller call role-playing with some of you guys. So does anybody want to volunteer to be a buyer and have me be a seller and kind of walk through a role play and just kind of get some
practice? Mike, can I ask one quick question on the $1,600
sure.
payment? Does the $1,600 already include the option monthly payment, or would the option – so I guess if he's only got $1,600, so the rent would be about $14 and $200 or $13 and $300 option?
So that would be the most he'd want.
The max. Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yep. No problem. Anybody want to do a little practice with me? Come on. Mary, would you like to?
I'd love to, Mike. So what's the scenario?
So let's just do a scenario, and we'll give more of you guys a chance too. I want to do a scenario where I'm a seller and you're a buyer, and you're calling me up and just kind of going through the pitch about maybe getting to like a lease purchase type deal. Get practice. Do you feel comfortable doing, or do you want me to do one first with you?
No, I'll do it.
Okay. So let's set the stage. So I have a house that is on Craigslist. It's for rent. It's $1,400 a month. And
mm-hmm.
all you know, it looks like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and it's a Rambler over in Seattle. So looks like
okay.
a nice house, and you're going to call me. Okay.
All right. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike. This is Mary. Listen, I saw your ad on Craigslist for the house for rent. Is the one in Seattle. Is that
right.
still available?
It is. What can I tell you about it?
Can you tell me just a little bit about it? You know, maybe I saw it was 3-bath, 3 bedrooms, 2 bath. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's about 1,400 square feet, and
mm-hmm.
It's really nice. You know, we put new carpets in. We've got pretty nice kitchen in there, and so are you. What are you paying for right now?
Actually, Mike, I actually have, I'm a real estate investor, and I have a family that is actually looking for a house. So I was thinking of buying a house, and maybe putting them in the house. They're a family that had just kind of a small credit glitch because of medical reasons. And, you know, I don't think it's going to take too long for them to qualify with the bank. But right now they're not able to do that because they're trying to get back on track. So your house really looked perfect. They were looking for a 3-bed, 2-bath. So it sounds like it might be something they're interested in.
So would you consider
maybe selling your house?
Well, I probably would like to sell, but I bought this in 2005, so I think that if I were to sell, I'm just a little bit underwater, but maybe, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. I wouldn't feel like I'm out of pocket to pay any kind of closing costs.
Oh, I see. So then what do you think the house is worth at this point?
I don't know. I'd probably say it's worth about $190,000.
Mhm. And so, yeah, it sounds like since you purchased the house and prices have gone down, or I'm sorry, values have gone down. So, are you actually underwater, Mike?
Well, I think that it's probably worth about it's worth about $190,000, and I owe about $200,000. I owe $201,000 on the house, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably going to have to hold off. That's why I just want to rent it, just kind of wait for the market to come back.
Sure. Well, you know, Mike, like I said, I am looking for a house for this family that I have. You know, as a real estate investor, we buy a number of different ways, and one of the ways we buy is with cash. If we were able to purchase your house with cash, what is the lowest you'd... Well, I guess you'd have to cover your mortgage.
I wouldn't be able to sell. I think I'd have to sell. I think our record closing costs are about 3%. And then if a real estate commission, it'd be another 6%. So I just can't.
I see.
I wouldn't appraise for that now.
Sure. Yeah, no, I can totally understand that. Well, one of the other ways we buy is, you know, we can actually buy the house from you. Or, if you're a little bit upside down like that, one option we have is to maybe get the house under contract and assign it to somebody who really wants to own a house, but they're just not able to do it at this point. That sometimes gives you a little bit higher price, and then you wouldn't have to come out of pocket for realtor fees.
But it would not appraise if, you know, even if I could sell it, I'd love to sell it. Even if somebody wanted to buy it for mm-hmm. $206,000 or something like that, which would clear me out, I don't think it would appraise for that right now.
So, yeah, no, you're probably right. I think you'd have a hard time since values have dropped. Well, you know, typically, though, when we put somebody in who has a lease with the option to buy,
they wouldn't buy it. It would be a lease option. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. So that family or that individual would be buying in the future, and you know, we don't know when house values are going to go up, but that would give the individual some time to get their credit back up, and you know, then it would give you some time to have your house value go up so that it did appraise when you're ready to sell. So is that something that might be of interest to you?
Well, possibly. The only thing I'd be worrying about is that how would I know if they want to buy or what happens if they don't buy?
Mm-hmm. Well, typically what we do is when we put somebody in, they actually pay rental amount per month, and then they pay an option fee on top of that to buy. You know, normally that can be a little bit more than a typical rental payment per month. In the case that they are transferred out of the area or for some reason they decide not to buy, that additional money, that option money, would go to you, the money that they would be paying on a monthly basis. you know, in the case that they did buy, of course, it would be going toward their purchase price. But most of the time, you know, these folks that are in the house, they really want to own a house. So they normally take good care of it. They do most of the maintenance unless it's something major, you know, something normally above $1,000. But most of the time, these folks really want to own a house, so they take pretty good care of it.
Yeah. Okay. So if now, how would this work? If you would have the buyer, how much do you charge?
Well, you know, we actually don't charge you anything, Mike. We get a fee from the buyer. You know, we actually do the we take a look at their credit. We make sure that you know, obviously they have enough to meet the payments, and they're back on track. And so we get a small fee from them. So it's not as if you have to pay a realtor fee or anything of that nature.
Okay.
So does that sound like something that might be of interest to you?
I might actually consider something like that. So what do we need to do now?
Well, what I could do is come by. You know, I'm not even sure. I'd actually have to take a look at your house. Just to make sure that it would work for us. So you said there really aren't that many repairs that are needed in the house. It's in pretty good shape.
No, it's in pretty nice shape. It's ready to move in.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd still need to come over and take a look at it just to make sure that it would work for us. How about tomorrow evening? Do you have some time, maybe 5 or 6 p.m. tomorrow evening?
Yeah, I'm here at 5.
Okay, that sounds great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a sheet over, and you know, we can go through the house, just take a look if anything does need to be done, and you know, once you actually sign the sheet, it will give me an opportunity to you know, get our buyer, and you can actually take a look at the buyer. If we decide to move forward, you can take a look at the buyer and see if that's somebody that you would like to be in the house. You know, you definitely have the option of saying, yes, it's somebody that you would like, or somebody maybe that you don't want in the house. So it gives you the option to decide if it's somebody that you're in agreement with, okay? So
okay.
I can come by tomorrow night, and you know, we can have you sign the form, and we can move on from there.
Awesome.
Sound good?
I'll see you then.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Well, good job, Mary. I thought that was actually pretty good.
I'm a little bit rusty.
Yeah, you know, it's practice. I mean,
yeah,
I got the gist of it. I think. One of the things is that I would probably mention is at first I wasn't quite, you know, I was trying to play seller without having any prior knowledge, and I didn't hear you talking about the lease purchase
mm-hmm.
right up front. That's kind of when I asked, and it's possible.
You know, I kind of got confused, and I wasn't listening enough, because I know you said you were underwater, and then I realized that, and then I kind of backpedaled. So,
mm-hmm. So the one thing that I would probably add with that is if you were, let's reverse roles a little bit, and you had talked about you said you know, there's no way you can buy the house, is one of them is with cash, so I'll let you be the seller, and so I'll start that conversation. Let me see if I can kind of give you what I would say. So Mary, you know, there's a few different ways that we can buy your house. We have
mm-hmm.
cash, and you know, we can close quickly. If I can pay you cash, Mary, for your house, what would be the lease that you consider?
Well, you know, I don't think that's going to work for me, Mike, because I'm actually over leveraged on the house. So I would have to. It just wouldn't work. You know, I have to get my mortgage paid off.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Are you current on the payments?
Oh, I'm current on the payment, yes.
Okay. All right, so a short sale wouldn't work. So how much do you owe on the house?
I owe a little bit over $200,000.
Okay. And then you had said earlier that you thought your house was worth about $190,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Well, that does put a problem. Okay. Yeah, I would love to pay cash, but obviously I won't be able to. One of the other options, Mary, see, if you were to try to sell today, obviously you'd have to come out of pocket, at least $15,000. And if you use a realtor, then you could probably add another $15,000 or $20,000 on top of, maybe $15,000 on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you won't be able to do it that way. Would you
right, yeah, that's why I didn't
purchase?
Consider selling it through
a
realtor.
Would you consider letting me or one of my buyers rent your house for a period of time and then buy it for basically what you owe on it if it didn't cost you anything, so you wouldn't have to come out of pocket, maybe like a lease purchase or something like that?
So you think you would be interested in moving into it?
Well, I wouldn't be moving into it. As an
oh,
investor,
okay.
Here's my goal, Mary. I'm really looking for a house I can buy. I do have a family that is interested in renting to own a house in the area. And
mm-hmm.
so my original goal was to purchase the house from you directly so I could put them in as a tenant, one of my tenants.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously won't work, but what I can do is I've sold a lot of homes on lease purchase. And like I said, I have a lot of buyers. One of the things I can offer is if you and I can agree on a price in terms that work, basically would add your house to my inventory so that I can show a buyer. And what I do, I'm not a real estate agent, so
mm-hmm.
I don't represent you or I don't represent a buyer. But if you and I can agree on a price, what I can do is assign that over to a buyer that I'm working with, who would pay me a fee for getting into a lease purchase, but it wouldn't cost you anything. So my feeling is if ultimately you'd like to sell if you could, but the reason you can is because of the market, lease purchase
mm-hmm.
is one of the best ways to do that, so that because you wouldn't have to pay a real estate agent commission, you can usually get a better price than if you were to try to just sell outright.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that you would consider if you can sell the house basically for what you owe on it without having to come out of pocket, but it might just take a few years?
Yeah, I think that would be something I would consider. But how do I know the person's actually going to purchase the house? I mean,
is that really important for you? You want to know somebody would actually buy, because I know you had it for rent. You're just intending on renting it anyway, right?
Yeah, you're right. I did have it for rent.
Okay. Well, this actually would be like a rental, but in my opinion, it's a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it looks like you're asking $1,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with a rent to own is the tenant would come in and pay the $1,400 a month, but then also add an additional maybe $200 a month on
mm-hmm.
top of that. That
mm-hmm.
extra $200 is what they call option, like an option fee or option consideration. It'll go towards their purchase, and it's kind of an incentive for them to buy, because that money starts accumulating, and if they decide to buy, then it'll go towards the purchase of the house. But if for some reason they don't purchase, then
mm-hmm.
they're not refunded that money. That stays in your pocket. There's no guarantees that they will buy,
mm-hmm.
but there's a good chance that they will. But even if they don't, then you're probably going to be better off than if you were just to rent it over this time, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to have more money than just the rental income. And the other thing is that they would be responsible for any kind of repairs or maintenance. So right now, as a rental, you're responsible if, say, let's say the faucet leaks and you have to go fix it, or if somebody throws a rock through the window when the window breaks or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a repair to do. So this would be something they would be responsible for all that.
I see.
Here's the thing though, Mary, is I just need to find out if this house would even work. You said it's nice and everything, but I'd really like to see it down the inside. Are you going to be available maybe tomorrow afternoon around 5 for me to come on over and take a look?
I will be available, but one thing I wanted to find out, Mike, so how do you get paid? Because, I don't have a lot of money to pay you
Exactly. I mentioned before, I have folks that would be actually willing to pay me for the opportunity, so it doesn't cost you anything.
If anything, it's
free advertising. It's kind of a no-brainer, in my opinion. You can continue
mm-hmm.
to advertise the house.
But
you give an opportunity for me to kind of market it to my buyers. then you know, one of us will find the buyer first, and I could probably save you some time and actually get you a better price than if, you know, a monthly payment than you can get on your own. Tell me though, Mary, if it's not something you're interested, you can tell me no. I just you know, I thought it's a nice place and it seems like it would work pretty well. But is it something you consider?
You know, it is something I would consider, Mike. So if you come over tomorrow night and if you think the house would work for this family you've been mentioning, then where do we go from there?
If everything works out and you and I can agree to some numbers that I think will work, then literally what I have is a one-page agreement. Basically allows me, it gives me the non-exclusive option to lease option your house. Now, I may or may not do that myself. I think that, you know, I would like to see if I could assign that over to one of our buyers for them to pay me a fee. You know, anybody that I put in the house, you'd ultimately have a chance to approve. But the agreement that we'd sign that would give me the right to do that, again, I wouldn't represent you. I'm not a real estate agent, like I mentioned before. I'm not able to market the property unless I kind of get the written permission from you. So why don't we just plan a meeting at 5? I'll see you at the house. I might take some pictures and everything. And then now, are you? Do you have a spouse or a significant other on the?
No, I own the house myself, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll plan a meeting about 5.
Okay. Sounds great, Mike. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. All right. So, Mary, perfect.
You're so smooth,
Mike. That's a great question. Is that?
I said you're so smooth.
Well, I've been doing this for a lot, so.
Yeah, I know. It just comes second nature.
I make a lot of mistakes, but I thought that was good. You asked some really good questions, so I'm glad you threw those at me. Hey, Vince, can I pick on you? Vince?
Hey, Vince, you ran and he hid.
Oh, hey, Vince. Is he gone? Oh, all right. How about Chris? Chris, can I pick on you?
Sure.
All right. So I'll let you be the buyer. And you are calling me because you've seen a for-rent sign. You're just driving around. You saw a for-rent sign in front of a pretty nice house. And you know nothing about it except that it's offered for rent. So why don't you give me a call?
Okay. Ring, ring.
Hey, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I saw your the ad. I was driving around the neighborhood, and I noticed you had the for rent sign in front of your house. I was wondering if it's still available.
Yeah. It's still, I'm showing some people tonight, but so far we don't have a renter yet. Are you interested?
Well, possibly. I'm actually a real estate investor, and I was thinking maybe had you thought about selling it, or were you just strictly looking for renters at this time?
Well, if you can make me an offer, I guess anything's for sale.
Okay.
Are you looking to buy it, or what are you looking for?
Well, I do a few things. I could buy it, or one of the things that I do is rent to owns. It kind of depends on really what works out for you and what you're interested in. So I guess, is this a home that you had lived in, moved out of, in or out of the area, or is this just an income property for the sake of income?
I've owned it for about 15 years, and you know, my wife and I, we bought it just as a rental, so we had fixed it up when we bought it, and been, you know, getting some good income, and you know, like I said, I know this market's not the best market, so I can't just give it away, but you know, we've got other things that we kind of want to do too, and so if somebody made me a good offer, I would consider. What would be your offer?
Well, I'd have to take a look at it, and it kind of depends on what you owe on it, in order for me to to make an offer that might work out for both of us. How much do you have left on the market?
Why would that matter?
Well, depending on how much you have left on it, certain situations might work out better for you. So if you if you own free and clear, then you might have some more options available to you. But if you still owed a lot on it, which is understandable in this day and age, then I can provide a different solution. But if you've owned it for 15 years, it sounds like you probably got some good equity in it.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I mean, it's not quite paid off, but it's getting pretty close.
Okay. Well, I could it depends. One of the ways that one of the offers that I can make is, depending on how much you owe on it, we could do either all cash and close pretty quickly, but that would probably be our lowest offer. I could do a little bit higher of an offer if we did maybe like a half now and half later. And maybe if you, if that was maybe not something you're interested in, we could do a rent-to-own situation. I don't know if you're familiar with those. Have you ever done a rent-to-own?
I had a house about 6 years ago. I did a sold a house on a rent-to-own, so.
Okay.
Pretty much kind of understand it, but did it once and it worked out, yeah.
And the rent-to-own would be the one where I'd be able to get you your highest offer, and that would just be where we'd put the tenant in and then get on a contract for pretty much full market value a couple years in the future, and then you'd be able to get the most out of it. So it really, which of those situations might work best for your goals and your intentions for the property?
Well, I guess I'd probably have to see some numbers in front of those. I mean, what would be your offer, cash offer?
Well, the cash offer, I just drove by your house. I haven't done any research on it yet. So I'd have to look into that a little bit. But if you do, you know what your house might be worth, like fair market value right now, if you were to get it appraised, or have you gotten it appraised recently?
Well, I haven't done an appraisal. I know back when the market was at, you know, a few years ago, it was probably worth about $250.
Okay. And the darn market didn't do so well, sadly, in the past few years. So it's probably maybe around 2 to 10 to 20, maybe, depending on.
Yeah, possible. Yeah, I haven't. I know some other people have their house sold. They sold for around 200, but
okay.
My house is a little bit better condition.
Okay. Does it need any repairs? I mean, obviously, if you're renting it out, it's probably in pretty good condition. But do you know if there's anything?
It's pretty good. I put a roof on about 3 years ago. Put new windows on. When we bought it, we had remodeled it, but we hadn't done the roof or windows. So we had just done kitchen and everything. So, I mean, it's clean. No issues or anything.
Okay. Well, that's good. And that makes life a little bit easier for both of us. So, again, I'd have to take a look at it to give you some real numbers. If I were to give you a cash offer, it might be much lower than what you're looking for. And because if you're just renting it out, it doesn't seem like you're in a great need to sell. And usually my cash offers for people who are really needing to sell right now for whatever reason. But maybe something that sounds like what might be working best for you would be a rent-to-own situation, if I were to help you out at all. And so I'd probably be looking more into that. Now, it's, of course, up to you, and I may not even be the best solution for you. But if I were to help you out, we could do get you possibly full price for your home in a couple of years of the rent to own. Does that sound like something that might fit with what you're wanting, or what are you thinking?
I don't know, possibly. I really hadn't given much thought. I was just kind of planning on running it out, and I figured if somebody made me a good offer, I might consider selling, but it's not like I'm not in a position where I have to sell, and it's got good cash flow, and like I said, it's all paid off, so I think it'd have to be a pretty good offer for me to consider selling it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that there are some good things about rent-to-own over just renting it to maybe a regular tenant. I know you already did a rent-to-own. What were some of the things you liked about that one?
They bought it from me. They took care of the house. They ended up buying it for me about 2 years later and got a decent price, although the market had jumped up from there, and I was, I kind of ended up giving away a little bit of equity because they ended up buying it for cheaper than they had appraised for, but we agreed to a price back in 2004, and they ended up buying it in 2006, so they got a lot of equity they bought. I kind of wish I would have rented it at the time, but, it seemed like it went all right.
Okay. And that's one of the good things, for the buyers is they get the chance of possibly getting a little bit of equity, and you're able to at least have not a guaranteed buyer, but someone whose their intent is definitely to purchase it. So, I'll tell you what, I have a few different buyers that would be interested in a rent-to-own situation, and if your home worked out for them and if you approved of the tenant buyer, then we could work something out where they would rent the house from you, actually a couple hundred bucks higher than what the usual rent is for what your house would be at the current rental market, and then get them in there, get them a price that you guys both agree to, and then you have your house sold, and tenant buyer gets a house.
You're not intending to live in the house. That you're when you're saying you have some buyers. Are you a real estate agent?
No, I'm not a real estate agent. What I would be doing is I'd get the property on contract for myself. And then, you can almost think of it as like subleasing, where I would assign that contract to the tenant buyer. Because when I first called, your house would be something that I would probably buy and then put renters in. But that would be financially probably more work better if I'd been able to do the cash offer, which I understand is not probably going to work for you, and that's fine. But if we're going to do the rent to own, then I would just assign the contract to the tenant buyer. And
well,
of course,
so
it'd be
would,
someone that,
what,
you
what
approve.
What would be in it for me to let you do that? Why wouldn't I just do it myself?
Oh, you can definitely do it yourself. In fact, you can do all your own advertising and or even keep on doing everything that you're doing yourself. I have buyers that I know and I'm familiar with and I've talked to myself, and it wouldn't cost you anything. They would give me an assignment fee to be able to get into this opportunity, and then they would be dealing with you from then on. So you're not limited in any way to just me or what I would be doing. I would just be maybe more free advertising and another possible venue to get someone into your house.
Okay. I can still advertise on my own, and did you charge a commission or something like that or fee for?
Oh, no. I what I would be doing, it would cost you nothing. You're free to do everything that you want. It just, the only thing it would cost you is a signature, just for giving me the ability to advertise and try and find a tenant buyer for you. But it doesn't limit you in any way that you're doing. And how I make my money is I get the assignment fee from the buyer, the tenant buyer. You don't pay me a cent, and in fact, you're getting the entirety of the monthly payments each month, and obviously everything from the sale a couple of years down the road when that happens.
All right. So do you have any information you can just send me or something like that I can take a look at? And I'd have to talk with my wife to find out if that's something she wants to do too.
Yeah, absolutely. I can send you my website, or I can also send you an email about the info that we discussed and some info basically on just lease options.
Okay.
And so what's your email address?
MikeSemsky@gmail.com.
Okay. Then I'll get that sent over to you tonight. And if it's going to work for you, great. If not, that's fine too, and I wish you the best of luck. But either way, I look forward to hearing back from you, and we'll chat more later.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for calling.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. So how did you feel about that, and what were the hardest questions that I answered? What was the hardest thing to kind of get across?
Well, the hardest thing for me was I felt like I was selling the entire time, and I know that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I kind of sensed that a little bit too. So
I didn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of thinking of what I was kind of setting up when I was talking about, you know, when you asked me how long I'd owned it or what I owed on it and everything. If I was in your position, I think that I would probably go, I would leave the lease option, the cooperative lease option or wholesale lease option off the table for a while until I knew that my other options weren't going to work. If you're dealing with a seller, I've owned other rental property. I've almost got this paid off. I'm not in a hurry to sell. I'm not motivated. The one thing that I'm thinking as a buyer on that phone call is, well, this one might be worth an appointment, because I kind of want to get to know the guy a little bit. Maybe he has other rental property that I'd want to buy, and or, you know, this could be a guy that could be a future private lender. So I think about the private lender thing a lot too. So in my opinion, what I would do is I would talk to him, but I would probably go mainly for like the purchase and then maybe try to schedule an appointment with him. Maybe what I can do is, and the other thing too, Chris, is I try to be a lot more concise, and I'd probably be a little bit quicker with him with trying to get to the point and try to see, you know, one way or another, get an appointment or not. So I don't have a whole lot of time on this call, but I'd like to take the next like five to 7 minutes. And can we turn the tables and have me be the buyer?
Sure.
Okay. Let me see if I can work this out. So we'll do a similar situation. So. Ring.
Hello, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris. This is Mike. I'm sitting outside of the house at 123 Main Street with the rental sign. Is that still available?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How many bedrooms is it? Is that a three-bedroom or a four-bedroom?
It's a four-bedroom, two baths. It's pretty nice. It's about 1,500 square feet.
Okay. And it looks like I couldn't read on the sign how much you're asking for rent. It was kind of a little bit faded out.
Asking $1,500.
$1,500? Okay. Has it been on the market for a while?
For finding a renter?
Yeah.
A couple weeks, yeah.
Oh, a couple weeks. All right. Hey, Chris, I'm not really interested in renting. I'm actually, my wife and I are looking to buy a house, and we live pretty close to that one, and we're looking for something we can hold as an investment. So I'm curious if you would you consider selling if I could make you an offer.
Maybe. It's not necessarily in our plan right now, but it could be I don't know. I guess it depends on the price.
Sure. What do you think? What do you think it would appraise for?
Well, I haven't gotten it appraised in a while, but I'm guessing maybe around 200,000. It's
okay.
It's what the other houses in the area have sold for. They're kind of selling
sure.
to mine.
Have you owned it for a while, or?
Yeah. My wife and I bought it about 15 years ago, and we got it cheap, and then we fixed it up and improved it a little bit, and then just been renting it out.
Sure.
Since then, so.
That's great. So you have other rentals also?
Yeah, I've got two other ones. They're in Tacoma. Bought those a little more recently. But they've got renters in them, so.
Well, good. Well, that's kind of what we're looking to do is buy a few more properties for rentals. We've got cash. You know, you said it's worth $200. You know, I'm making offers on bank loans and short sales and that sort of thing. You know, would you be flexible? You know, what would be the least that you'd consider if I could cash you out? And you and your wife have cash to kind of do whatever you want with, and you wouldn't have to look for a tenant. What would be the least that you consider for the place?
So this one, other than the fact that it doesn't have a renter right at this moment, it's been cash flowing pretty well. So I don't know how flexible I'd be in the price, especially with how bad the economy is right now. House prices are already pretty low. So I don't know if I'd want to take a big hit on that.
Right.
So,
well, I couldn't pay retail price, Chris. You know, I know you probably don't want to give it away, but do you have a number in mind that might work?
I might be able to look at something maybe in the 180 to 190 range, but for all cash.
That's the lowest you can go?
So you didn't have to pay a real estate commission?
Okay.
I'd have to talk about it with my wife, but
Well, I'll tell you what,
I know you probably don't
want to give it away. If I were to pay cash, I really couldn't pay that price. I could pay the price if you're flexible on terms. I'm assuming you own this outright.
We're almost. We got a little bit left, but not much left on the mortgage.
Like a $10,000 or $20,000 mortgage.
A little bit more than that.
Okay. Well, if you need to get a $180,000 or $190,000 price, I could probably find a way to get you that price if you're flexible on terms. So you're like in the income. Would you consider maybe selling on a contract or something? I can give you the same income you're getting from a tenant without having to have you manage it.
You could get me the same income?
So what I'm asking is that you're getting good cash flow on here. If I could make an offer that lets you get to keep that cash flow so you still have that same income each month but be able to get you that higher price, one of the ways I might be able to buy it is on contract. I want to find out if you're flexible. I don't want to waste your time, Chris, but I'm a serious buyer. I'd love to be able to make an offer to buy it. It's just I probably either need a flexible price or terms. But if you are flexible on either, then, you know, we might be able to put a deal together. It'll work for both of us.
Well, I'd be interested in looking at terms. It's what kind of terms are you looking at?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Are you going to be available for me to come and take a look at the house maybe tomorrow or this afternoon? If I can walk through the house and sit down with you, I might be able to work out something that could work. But I'd really need to see the inside of the house. What are you doing at 6 p.m. tonight?
Well, tonight won't work, but tomorrow afternoon would work. Is 4 okay for you?
Yeah, that would be great. Hey, Chris, I'd love to email you and give you my contact information. What's your email address?
It's ptrogers Jeff14@yahoo.com.
Okay, perfect. All right, I'll shoot you an email, and let's plan on meeting tomorrow evening, and see if we can work something out. Is your wife planning on being over there to meet me and everything too?
Yeah, I'll make sure she's there.
Okay. All right, Chris, sounds good. I'll look forward to seeing you.
All right, sounds good.
So basically, again, what I kind of touched on before we did this role play is with this guy, I kind of want to get into the house. I want to talk to him more. He's obviously an investor. We might have some things in common. He owns other property. Maybe I could work a deal for to buy it on terms. I didn't mention anything about the cooperative lease option. I didn't want to get too fancy because he has a lot of options. I think that the wholesale lease option is best reserved for sellers that are kind of in a situation where that's the only way they can sell. And if I'm going to pitch a lease option to a seller that has equity, I think that I'm only going to do it after meeting with them in person, establishing some rapport, and then pitching it if for some reason my other offer is not going to work. And so that's why I didn't bring that up. But the whole idea of being able to buy it on contract, getting that flexibility and figuring out if that's something he would consider tells me a couple things. One, he's not hard up for cash, which I could already tell because, you already said that I don't really, not in a hurry to sell. It's good cash flow.
Right.
But there's probably an offer. So if he's getting, what did we say was rent? Was it $1,400?
I said $1,500.
Okay, so if it's $1,500 rent, let's say he has a small mortgage. But on his mortgage, even though he's been paying it down, he might still pay like, $700 a month because the payments don't change even if you got it paid down to like $40,000. So let's say he pays $700 a month, so he's going to have an $800 a month net cash flow. So my offer to him when I get there would be somewhere around that $800 a month. And so it would be, I'll tell you what, I'll buy your place. What I do is I'd pay his loan off, okay? I'd pay him maybe $180,000 for the house. I'd pay his loan off, and then I'd try to do like a 7 to 10 year, 7 to 10 year term, where I pay the $800 a month goes towards principal, and the balloon payment after 7 to 10 years. Depends on how much money I have to come out of pocket to pay off his loan. I have to consider that, but I want to at least have a $300. Net cash flow after paying a private lender and after paying him in taxes and insurance. So, at that meeting, I'll pitch a cash offer, and the way I'll do that is I'll say, Chris, I can pay you cash. It's probably going to be a lower offer than you can get if you sold to someone who's going to live in the house. When I buy houses, I use private lenders, so I don't get money from, Bank of America. I work with regular folks, maybe like you, that have money in the stock market and they want to get a better return or more secure return. And, they lend money to me to pay cash, which I can do and close quickly. But, we've kind of got a rule where we need to have a 30% equity buffer when we buy, and it protects the lender and it protects me. So, for your place, that means I probably wouldn't be able to pay any more than, say, 130 to 140. I'm assuming that's not something that you're willing to accept, is it? And then, I don't want to insult the guy because I've already kind of figured out. Now, if this house needs a lot of work and I knew that they were in a position they just kind of wanted to sell to get the cash, where I just might, put that offer out there without buffering it very much. And then we work through like a seller finance and a half now, half later. And if all fails, they say, well, tell you what, you said you wanted high price. What if I could lease purchase the house from you, and then I could manage a tenant. I'll put a tenant in. I'll pay you, and guarantee the payments and take care of the maintenance, and then I'll get income from my tenant. Maybe we can both win. Is that something you consider? And then I'd kind of pitch it as a sandwich lease option, and maybe the purchase price that I would pitch would be less than fair market value, so that I could get a piece of everything. The cash flow, the upfront, and then the back end. And if all else failed there, then I turn it into, say, a wholesale lease option. Say, well, Chris, I, no, you know, you said you needed the 200 or nothing. It wouldn't work for me to stay in the middle of it, but, you know, I can still make money in my business. And, you know, the side benefit is that you get a tenant. If I can get an option at, you know, we can work at a price of what you need, I'd love to get an option to lease option your place. I can assign it to one of my buyers. They'd pay me a fee. It wouldn't cost you a dime. You keep advertising on your own. And if anything, it's free marketing. And if you find a buyer first, great. And, you know, our contract is over. But if I can find a buyer, then I think we both win. So is there any reason why we couldn't do business? And then just kind of pitch it from there. So.
Okay.
I think that's it. Actually, I have an 8 o'clock seller call, so it's 5 minutes away. I got to get prepared for it. So I'll post this recording tonight. And what I recommend is, you know, Mary and Chris, you guys listen to your role plays, and just kind of, it's a lot different when you listen to yourself. And what I would really like to do, I'm going to put an email out. I would love to find a time we can all get together again, maybe over at that Forza Coffee, and see if we can't spend several hours. I would love to have a day where we call sellers and we role play. Would you guys find that beneficial if we'd have a seller call day where we just sit in the room and make a bunch of phone calls?
That would be great, Mike. And tonight I thought was really valuable. I mean, you know, before you've been in the seller's seat, I guess the opposite direction. I don't think we've ever been buyers, so I just think it was really, really beneficial to role
play.
Yeah,
well, I got to check my schedule, but I don't know if next Sunday, if you guys might be available, like in the early afternoon, maybe like 1 o'clock or something like that. If you are, then it would be kind of cool to meet and then, you know, just call a bunch of sellers. Maybe we can find a deal in North Tacoma. You know, if you guys want, maybe what we can do is we can all spread out and drive for dollars, and we can get a bunch of phone numbers and take pictures of houses and see if we can't find a property that would work for this guy, and then reconvene over at Forza and just make a bunch of calls together. Would you be interested in doing that?
Are you talking Sunday?
So like maybe like a 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, I just have to check. I think I'm available though.
Okay. All right. I'll shoot an email for everybody just proposing that, but I think that would be awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think
it'd
be great.
Sounds good. Great call. This is really good. I'm gonna get off my call here and hopefully I can put a deal together in 3 minutes. So
good luck, Mike. Hey, thanks again.
Right,
it was really helpful.
All right, cool. Bye.
Okay, bye.